Father, I thank you that your grace is sufficient. And I pray that you would speak to every heart the exact things you want to. Lord, you'd bring gifts and thoughts and hopes and promises alive today that you've spoken. I pray that's what you would do today because you're such a great giver on your birthday. Father, we just want to celebrate you and we want to do it in a way that honors you. And most of all, I want to leave here changed. And the church said amen. Amen. Say, Jesus is the gift. Now, if you've ever received the gift, then you know that this is true. The gift came already. You don't got to wait for it. It came. The gift has arrived. It's here. Have it. So if you know that and you've received the gift of Jesus, then you also know this. You got to give it away. If you really ever received the gift of Jesus in your life, really, I'm telling you the truth. If you know someone said they're saved, but they never mentioned Jesus to anybody else, they're not saved. Uh-oh, I know I said it. So here we go. We'll bring our debate some other time, but it says there should be fruit. There should be praise. And it says it's the good news. And if you're a disciple of Jesus, your job is to go give the good news away. So if you've ever really received the gift, then you got to know this. Your job is to go give it away. If you've really received the gift. You got to receive the gift. The gift already came, and you can get on board anytime if you haven't. Anytime you want to get on board, the gift is ready. It's ready. It's already here. But also, I started thinking about this. You get a gift, but do you start utilizing it? How many gifts I have sitting in drawers that I don't know what to do with this? It's cool, but I don't have the technical ability to do that, so it just sits in my drawer until it ages out. I don't know what to do with it, Jody. I don't know. You know? But you get the gift, and he came, but have we been utilizing him in our life personally? I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, the gift. But have I let him work on me and make an investment in my life? And has stuff been changing? Am I trying to serve him by changing? And if you're not, I'm saying then I don't know if you have Jesus. Because that's what Jesus does. He saves us, cleanses us from all unrighteousness, and he starts working in our lives. Any disciples in the house? I'm starting to walk around now. It's going to be trouble, Jody. It's Saturday night. I'm not even getting in trouble. This doesn't even count. Doesn't count. You know, it's a mulligan, absolutely. It's the first pancake you throw out. You know, it's a wreck. But he is the gift that you must keep on giving away. Look at your neighbor. Say, you gotta give him away. Look the other side. You gotta give him away. Right. The gift came. Here's a slide. Very important. The gift came. What are you doing with it? What are you doing with the gift? Well, I just hide my Jesus. You have my Facebook post. Oh, that's your old Jesus that you're giving out? Your Facebook post. I ain't looking at any particular people because I don't like Facebook posts. So, you know, but I'm just saying, what are you doing with the gift? Say Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Well, he promised to come back. Pastor Jody reminded us, right? And then he also promised this. He said, I'm going to come back and I'm going to check on y'all's progress. Right? He gave gifts to us. And he said, I'm going to come back and check on the return. Well, yeah. Remember the parable? The guy that got this much and the guy that got this much, the guy that got this much and what they did with the much they didn't have. I may paraphrase it later when I get to the scriptures. But he gave a gift, and then he said, I'm coming back. The same gift that was promised showed up. The same guy promised, I'm coming back for return on the gift I gave. Say, I'm the church. Merry Christmas. I know. Say, Jesus is the Messiah. He's the Son of God. Say, Jesus. Jesus is, always will be, the promised gift for whosoever is available. If you've not accepted Jesus, I strongly recommend it before you leave today. Free trial. Yeah, seriously. If you have not ever accepted what Jesus can do for your life, Man, anybody got a story you could tell them right now? Like if someone raised their hand and said, I never accepted Jesus, I want to hear a story about how your life could change. Anybody be able to do that? If you love Jesus, you should be raising your hand, because if not, then you don't know him. Your job is to testify for him. I'm being rough tonight because we're the church. And this is the season we should be giving Jesus away the most. And we might be worried about if I picked out the right cologne or the right shirt. Pastor Sharon, how am I doing? Okay, Pastor Sharon's my barometer. Pastor Heidi can't be because she's always going to bring it lower, 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 lower. And Pastor Sharon's going, pop, pop the volume, pop, pop, you know. You know it's truth, Marcus. God made himself available, right? He purchased with his own son anything you could possibly imagine, setting your soul free. He did that. It says, whosoever will believe on him and receive him as Lord. So I want to ask you, have you been receiving him? And if you say, yeah, then have you been giving him away? That's where we get lobster. We're out of whack, you know? We're out of whack, that happens. Say, Jesus, he's an awesome gift. Thank you, God. Here's some Jesus facts. You ready? Quick ones, Jake. Jesus is the king. Jesus is the only remover of sin. The only remover of sin. Who's the only remover of sin? Jesus. What's his name? Jesus, only remover. The only one. I feel like I wish I would have had, if I had more time this week because of death and sadness and not feeling that great, I would have put this, I don't know, I love it. Muhammad Ali, the master of disaster, the thriller from Manila. You know, he's that guy. You guys are old, like, who is Muhammad Ali? Oh, it's a sad generation. Let's say. But he is the king of kings. He's the master over disaster. You're in disaster, call out to Jesus. The world's in disaster. What do they need? Jesus. He's the master over disaster. If was your life ever a disaster? Come on, disasters, raise your hand. My fantasy football name is Dumpster Fire for a reason. It's a symbiotic picture of my life before Jesus. Dumpster Fire, you know? Not the kind you want to warm your hands on, the kind you want to call 911 about, you know? Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and that does make you want to break into a praise break, you know? Yeah, it should. Think of everything he's done for you. You ask people like Jody and I, we'll just start crying. You let us think too long, we'll start crying. Why? Because he's done stuff, right? I'll start crying right now. Look at it, Jody. Don't look at me, Jody. It's a long prologue. I get it. It's Christmas, so you have grace for past. I want to continue my long prologue. They, the ancient world, say they. They also, the Old Testament OGs, God's guys and gals, they were waiting for him. Weren't they? Waiting. Waiting, promised. Long time in promise. Ever wait on something you've been promised? Yeah. They were waiting and they're waiting and they're waiting and they're waiting, right? But guess what? The gift finally came. Why? Because he promised it. How many things has God done already in your life that he promised he's already done it? Right. God promises stuff and he follows through. When he says it, he follows through. And God's saying a lot of things and he promised he was going to send the Savior. And that's good news because he came. He already came. That's the good news. He promised he came. It's done, right, Jen? Done. Establish that. Well, let's flash forward to today's world. Say, I'm the church. We've been waiting for a promise, too. We've been waiting for a promise for him to return. It's his promise, bro. But sometimes me, the church, me, Sean Capozzi, I feel like it's just sometimes such a long way off. Other times it just feels like around the corner. I don't know if you feel that way. It hits me sometimes. But I forget sometimes it's just as set in stone promises his coming was, is his coming again. God promised stuff, and he makes good on his promises. Say Merry Christmas. So let me synopsize this. This is what the message is going to be about eventually. The gift came. What are you doing with it? The gift already came. UPS dropped it off. You unwrapped it even though they think you didn't know. But they get the right color, wrap it back up before Dad gets home. The gift came. It arrived, and some of us raised our hands and said we already received it. So the question to us is, what are we doing with it? What are we doing with the gift? Matthew 25, 1 through 5. Finally, scripture. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like the 10 virgins. Virgins, pure, undefiled, untouched. And what were these virgins doing? They're waiting for the groom. Anybody, any married folk in here, raise your hand. Okay. Married folk, this is for us. You ready? On the night before your wedding, were you like, woohoo, I can't wait. When is Cody coming? Right? Or Cody like, oh, Marina, get married tomorrow, right? Was it like that at the house? I bet it was. He's waiting. Why? Because he'd been waiting his life to be married. Wants the bridegroom, loves the bridegroom. It's all about the bridegroom. Sometimes the church was all about the bride. And these girls, they were waiting like, oh, the groom. He's coming tonight. They're waiting, right? 10 took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. Say, it's about him. 5 of them were foolish, thoughtless, silly, and careless. And 5 were wise, far-sighted, practical, and sensible. For when the foolish took their lamps, they, don't be like them. Look at your neighbor and say, don't be like them. Don't be like them. They did not take any extra olive oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil along with their lamps. Now, while the bridegroom was delayed, ever feel that? Yeah. Lord, where are you? Where's my miracle? I've been waiting on this one. He said, I already sent the gift. What are you doing with it? Right, okay, see, Miles. Mm-hmm. They're not mad because he's delayed. We get mad. Where's my thing? God, you should be. I don't want to marry a girl that's yelling for me to get home. Mad at me. Do you want, how many husbands ever want to go home because you know your wife's mad? Oh, I can't wait to go home. She's mad. Yeah, Pharaoh's like, Pastor, bring it lower, 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 you know? No, they're eagerly waiting. They plan to wait. We waiting for you. Why? Because you're the bridegroom. And here's another thing about being delayed. If you feel like something's delayed, here's something that's really going to help all of us. If you're a human, this is going to be good for you. Time belongs to only him. It doesn't belong to you, me, Jeff Bezos, whoever owns Twitter. It doesn't matter. They don't control time. There's only one controller at time. So he's never delayed. It's just your expectations are off. I'll take a sip to that one. But the bridegroom was delayed. They all began to nod off. And they all fell asleep. They all nodded off. You know why I love that? Why I wanted to pause there, Tanner? This is why I'm pausing in this moment. Is even the wise are not perfect. Come on, church. Stop expecting everybody to be perfect. Because you know you're not. And who are you? The church. So stop. Have standards and expectations and follow the will of God and make him change your life. And it's not whatever, because God, there's sin and we hate sin and there's God and we love God. But at the end of the day, we're not perfect. We're just wise. And that's not perfect. So I love they all nodded off. We all fall short. We all give up hope. We all, right? Humanity and waiting is tough work sometimes. It's tough work. But you know what's the great thing about that? There's a time to wake up. Look at your neighbor and say, wake up. Wake up, the bridegroom did promise us he's coming back, right? He promised us. Just like we received the gift that he came, he promised us he's coming back. Say, he came. That's the good news. He came, right? To be the gift. You know, and I've been thinking on this, maybe because I'm thinking about my dad passing and I was raised in a lot of facets in the Italian network of life. There's police officers, Italians, and this is general overstating, but I can do that because this is my life, so you can't judge me about it. And then there's the non-police officers, who the police officers would typically be chasing if they weren't related at the same table. I grew up that way. If that doesn't make sense to you, you need to know about it. I wrote no mafia jokes on Christmas. Okay, but there comes a point when you're walking by, you're walking down the street with your dad, and he says, hey, don't ever bar anybody's thing from that house. Why? What's in there? They got something cool? Oh, no, don't. Like, just don't. Why? I said, because you won't be able to pay it back. Why? Because he's going to expect a return bigger than you got. Okay, Dad. Got it. This guy you can borrow from because he's, okay. Mafia jokes aside, God gave a gift to us, and the Godfather is expecting return on his gift. There was conditions. Give me your whole life, and I'll set you free and cleanse you from sin and all righteousness, and I'll give you eternity and a place in heaven, and it's going to be spectacular on that day. But I'm coming back for something I gave you. I want to know what you did with it. Did you bury it? I was so hurt, I just buried it. I was this, I was that. I was the groom that gave you a gift. What did you do with it? He expects to collect on it. Who wants to invest anything and not get a return? Anybody? Like, I love throwing my money away. Every time I look at the stock market, I do this. Why? Because there's my money. I watch it go, and there it goes. And it's like, well, who's managing your money? It doesn't matter who's managing your money. If you're in the stock market right now, who's up big? Anybody? Nobody. Nobody. But why do we get involved to begin with? We expected a return. I give you how much, and you give me what back? That's a good deal. I get more. I give you a little bit, and you give me a little bit more? Well, God gave us a big, big, big gift. Kind of gift that changes your life forever. And he's coming back to see what we're doing with it. Say it's Christmas. Matthew 25, 6 through 13. But at midnight there was a shout. Look, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Then all those virgins got up and they got up and put their own lamps in order. Pause, Tanner, right there. The crazy thing about most, if we look at the virgins as the church, can we do that for a second as a picture? We're supposed to wait for the bridegroom to return. Just want to make that extrapolation. That's an educated correlation between an analogy and an actual fact. So here we are as the church, those virgins. And it says they got up and they put their own lamps in order. The problem most of the time with the church is we want to put other people's lamps in order. And this is Jesus throwing this down. This isn't paraphrased. It's come right out of his mouth. He's telling this story. And he's saying, you got to put your own lamp in order. That's our responsibility. I gave you a lamp. Each one of us has a lamp. If you're in here today, you are a lamp. And it's time to get ourselves in order. Why? Because we got to get ready for what? The bridegroom's coming. Man, and sometimes it's sad, because I know young people, I'm not saying, woohoo, the end of the world, and Jesus coming back. Well, what's after is supposed to be better than that. Well, I can't wrap my mind around it for those that love him. It's supposed to be better, not fearful. But at the same time, I was 20 once. I'm not picking on 20. I'm picking on actually the church, because it's actually everybody. It's not just 20. I'm just, you know, popping the 20s, because I can make them feel guilty in the front row. It's easier. But sometimes as the bridegroom, I would feel very hurt if the bride who's supposed to love me said, no, I'll take your time. You don't got to come on home. No, don't come back. Actually, not. Could you not come back and see me for a long time? That would break my heart. But isn't that kind of how we act to the bridegroom? The greatest gift in the world, the only thing that can change the world that we possibly know and cause the end to be better for everybody who accepts it, right? And I don't know how good we are at loving and waiting on the bridegroom. I don't know what kind of position we got ourselves in. But the foolish virgin said to the wise, give us some of your oil because our lamps are going out. Sometimes there's boundaries. This is hard. The gimme, gimme. Don't raise your hand. This will get you in trouble. Some people know in the world, probably not us, but none of us know these kind of people. But some people in the world are full of gimme, 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 what can you do for me? I'm so sad. Help me, help me, help me, help me, help me. I'm in a mess again. Gimme, fix me out. I'm the church. You're to be the church to me. Gimme, gimme. Anybody ever know somebody like that? Sometimes there's boundaries. Here's proof. Here's boundaries right here. There's sometimes, I'm not saying don't help people. Help people as much as God tells you to and go to the very level he tells you to, but sometimes there's boundaries. Ethos counseling teaches healthy boundaries in relationships, okay? Give us some of your oil. But the wise replied, too bad, so sad. No, they replied, no. Well, that's harsh. Hey, man, we've been telling you the bridegroom's coming. We've been telling you. It's been 500 years now. Well, we nodded off, and all I'm here to say, wake up this Christmas. I'm not saying, oh, my goodness, he's coming tomorrow. I better just get taken care of. I'm talking about he's coming back. What are you doing with the investment? When he comes back and go, man, look what I did. This is what I did for you, Lord, and this is what I did for you, and here, that. And, that doesn't count because I was really arrogant and I just pointed it out. Okay, that one doesn't count? Okay. But that one, you saw me do that nice thing? Yeah, no one saw me do that. Those moments are coming, right? The wise replied, no. No, otherwise it will not be enough for us or for you. Go instead to the dealers and buy oils for yourself. But while they were going away to buy oil, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready, how ready are we? Some of us, man, we've been playing, is Jesus in my life or isn't he, for so long? Are you ready? If it were to be tomorrow, I always thought I was unwrapping a Christmas present. You are. Eternity for those who love and serve the Lord. What if tomorrow that was the present? Are you ready to receive it and open it? That's a heavy thought for Christmas, but it's about the gift. The same one that came is the same one that's coming back. It says, and those who were ready went with him to the wedding feast. And the door was shut and locked. Later, there is a too late sometimes. I've seen it. Death reminds me of those moments. It is too late for me to say things I wanted to say to my dad. Said some things, but I didn't say enough things. Anybody? If you had your dad back, would you, want to get a debate with him or just spend a minute asking about 50 questions you'd love to talk to him about? Right? Anybody? Right? That's just the way it is. Sometimes it's too late, though. I can't do that. Later, the others also came and said, Lord, Lord, open the door for us. But he replied, I assure you and most solemnly say to you, I don't know you. We have no relationship. See, and that's the thing. The only thing this church preaches continuously, I believe and I hope for the last 18 plus years is, you must have a relationship with Jesus. Without a relationship with Jesus, nothing else is going to matter. And it's not enough to just call him out in prayer. You got to know him because he came to be known. Emmanuel, God with us, right? He says, therefore, listen, Jesus is about to make a point, right? Therefore, be on the alert. Be prepared and ready, for you do not know the day nor the hour when the Son of Man will come. Then I paraphrase the next to keep time for you. In Matthew 25, 14 through 28, it's not up there, Harold, but there's 4 points in there. Humans have been given talents. You know anybody that's talented? If you don't, look in the back booth. Two super talented humans back there. You want something drawn? Like, they're awesome. Like, seriously, talents. They're talented. Yeah. Some of us have tiny talents. I'm still discovering mine. I'm almost 55, and I'll figure out what they are soon. But we all have been given some. And Jesus explains in this chapter, this verse, the effects of what wasting your life and the impact of living in fear can do. In our culture, man, it wants to make us live in fear. Anybody feel it every day? Right. Every day. It's out there. It's coming. Anxiety has increased 300% in the world. Wasting our life and the impact of living in fear. Jesus dealt with it. Said it's going to be a problem. I know. We're going to do it anyways. I almost didn't make my plans for Samoa. We're leaving in February. Not many people know we have a big thing. It's been crazy. But I almost didn't do it. Solely based on, I have to be honest, here I am, fear. Because every time I go there, I feel like I get punched in the face. Accident was the last time I went. It was so many hard things I wish I could share. So when I think about going to Samoa, sometimes I go, I'm instantly in fight position. And that means fear tries to get me. Keep me from doing something God told me to do. I don't want to leave the prettiest thing he ever made for more than 10 minutes most of the time. If I could, she'd just have this little camera that circled around. I could just look at her all the time, you know. But call them lessons or predictions, but when he says it, it becomes a promise. When God says something, it becomes a promise. Say, Pastor, it's Christmas. God, thank you for the gift of Jesus. Right? It's an awesome gift. But here's the question. What will you do with your gift? Your Jesus gift, and what else you got? What else did he give you that's a gift that's not being used? Well, I ain't making any money at that. Maybe he's asking you to do something with it that's not dealing with money, and he'll bless you later. I don't know. Well, no, you know, that's pretty expensive. I can't just go around giving my stuff. Yeah, time's the most precious gift some people will ever get. That's what I ask for Christmas every year. Ask my family. Ask them what I list out every year. Time. Every time. But what are we going to do with our gifts? What are we going to do with the gift that we, say I'm the church, that we've been given, right? And this is not a new season message. This is a whosoever message. So if you're coming first time, forgive me. I love you. I love Jesus. I care that you love Jesus with all your heart, that you find him, and he changes your life, and you start wrecking the world with him. That you start, wherever there's fear, you start bringing hope. And I pray, no matter what sickness, affliction you're going through, that God would light upon you and you would do miracle after miracle in his name and you would change the world. Wipe out fear. Trash it. We've been given a gift. Jesus is the good news of our lives, and that's a fact. But what have we done with him? What have we done with any of our gifts? What have I done with my time? What have I done with my money? What have I done with my talents? What have I done with my life? Hey, let's not wait till New Year's. It's Christmas. Let's get open that gift of Jesus. Let's put him on, put him in our lives, and start using him next year right off the bat. You know what, man? I've been dealing with depression. Well, I'm going to get in the message, and I'm going to spend time with Jesus, and I'm going to ask him to minister to me. And I got to start changing the confession in my mouth. I got to start going to counseling. Why? Why am I doing that? So I can be a better person. Absolutely. Nah, you can be a better vessel that Jesus can use to change the world. That's the gift. Use that. This is the year to be used. This is the year to be used. Because he promised he's coming back. And I don't have a single excuse of why I didn't share Jesus right here when I was supposed to. That's going to stand up. or when he asked me to be kind and I was rough, and he asked me to be tough and I was wimpy. He asked me to go be courageous and I was, what am I doing with myself, Pastor Sharon? What am I doing? Wasting time. What's our waiting position? As my granddaughter likes to say, as humans. She calls everyone humans. Don't be offended. I don't know why. So there's a lot of humans out today. You're right. There are a lot of humans out. But as earthlings, as humans, we have been given the gift, and it's arrived, and we celebrate it every year. But I really want us to use him this year. Not saying New Season's having a billion outreaches. That frustrates me. But we have probably 100 people who can reach one more person this year with the love of Jesus in your life. That's what we can do. That's what he's coming back to see. What did you do? I planted a seed of love. I planted a seed of thing. I planted a thing. I was obedient. I brought him a sandwich. I prayed over the crazy guy in the corner. He got saved. He's set free. What do we do now? Well, we can get him into a program. Okay, right on. Jody knows a guy. Ooh. Matthew 25:29. Here's some more Jesus talk. For to everyone who has and values, everyone who has and values his blessings and gifts from God and has used them wisely, anybody who has gifts from God and used them wisely, what's going to happen? More will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, because he has ignored, disregarded his blessings and gifts from God. Ever do that? Yeah. Ever ignore, disregard, and forget to thank? You're on the next prayer request. Boom, my life's a mess, God. Thanks for handling that one. I got 14 more. Let's go. Right? But for the one who does not have, because he has ignored, disregarded his blessings and his gifts from God, even what he does have will be taken away. So that's a tough promise. So what do you take from that? Treasure what God has given you. Every breath you take. Every human he's connected you to. Every person you know needs a little more Jesus from you. Don't you need a little more Jesus from them? You can't get more from Pastor Heidi. She gives out the maximum amount of Jesus. You're going to have to find another source. But most of us got a lot of work to do, being the best Jesus we can be, right? Treasure God's gift. Matthew 25:31-34. But when, say when. It's a promise. But when the Son of Man, the Messiah, the gift of gifts, when he comes in his glory and majesty and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him for judgment, and he will separate them one from another. The shepherd separates the sheep from goats, and he will put the sheep on his right and put the goats on his left, and the king will say to those on his right, come, you blessed of my Father, you favored of God, appointed to eternal salvation. You can't say that in a way that makes you understand the gift. Someone gave me a great coffee pot recently, and they told me everything I could do, and I went, can I make coffee? Well, cold brews, hot brews, sea brews, soft brews, strong brews. I want regular brews. Does it do regular brews? And it does wonderful regular brews. And I'm very grateful for it. But it made me think recently about one of the cutest things I've seen on Facebook, and I hate to bring it up, but it is the cutest thing. Did I get a picture? I probably didn't get a picture of it. I forgot to. If you got a chance to get on Facebook and look up Jasmine's post of Violet's Christmas list, she made a Christmas list, right? And number 5 was everything. 12 was even harder. It was a box to carry everything. How do you do that? But I read this with Violet's thought in mind. The king will say, to me, you're blessed. It means the abundance that's coming for you from the things you've sown and what I've asked you to do. And I've seen every good work. And I'm not just a guy who goes, nope, that's not good. And you can know for a thing. Goes, I see every good seed you've sown and it's coming to you. You're going to be so blessed. Wait till you walk into that spot. I saw you when you gave up and people made fun of you because you became a Christian. And the Lord said, I saw you stand that day and I started preparing something for you. Blessed. Personally blessed. Why? Because he knows us. If you know somebody gives a good gift, they know you good, right? If somebody like, there's a difference between someone giving, oh, thank you for this gift, and someone knows you real well, right? Someone knows you real well doesn't get you size 12 shoes when you're size 10. They know you real well. This guy knows you better than anybody in the world. And when he says blessed to who he wants to bless is his sons, trust me, he knows you. Blessed by my Father and favored and appointed to eternal salvation. And I looked at that and I go, Violet, that's what you wanted. Everything. That's what Violet wanted. She wanted that for Christmas. Jesus was the box to carry everything in. He was the box. The box was broken so we could have everything. That's what he's saying. And he says, you'll inherit the kingdom, Jody, you'll inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Say, what? That's a, I can't, if I had like this week, obviously technical, I didn't have enough. Anyways, it'd be, picture mind blowing on the side. Because that is mind blowing. Because I always think about stuff as part of the gift. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for healing sick. Thank you for peace. Thank you. And I thank him for so many things that the gift is, but I forget the gift keeps giving. There's an eternal gift waiting for me because of the great gift. And he's coming back to give that back to me. His bride who is waiting for him. What position are we waiting in for him? Are we waiting for him like this? Or are we waiting for him like, oh man, it's honeymoon night. He's running late. I brought extra oil. When you come in, come, Lord Jesus, come. What's our waiting position? What are we waiting to be kind about? I'll be kind when someone else is kind. I'll be patient when Walmart is better. The gift already came. The promises are still coming in. The gift already came, but the promises are still coming in. They're still coming in, right? Plus, the biggie of the promise, I haven't even got to yet, right? The biggie promise is coming. Let's do Matthew 24:36. How am I doing? Excellent. But of the exact day and hour, no one knows. Here, if you ever send me a website, or a link that says, hey, this guy's predicting the end of the world. I don't want to ever see it because I don't care. I don't. He's been accurate 400 out of 402 times. Awesome. It says no one knows. So I just go. He says, you know how many times in the growing up of my life, how many times have you heard Jesus is coming back on this date and there was some kind of date and you're in church and you heard it? Everyone that was saved in 1988 thought, Jesus come back? Why? Because double eights, the Hebrew words of this. Oh, come on. Stop it. No one knows. You know? Not even the angels of heaven did that. Who we fooling? Nor the Son. He didn't even tell the Son. But the Father alone. For the coming of the Son of Man, the Messiah, will be just like the days of Noah. This is a promise of God, too. I'm not being dramatic. I'm not trying to emotionally manipulate you. I'm not trying to draw analogies I don't think are fair. But if you looked at the days of Noah and you read about the days of Noah and you just looked at downtown New York City, downtown L.A., you pulled up Facebook anywhere in the city, any city in the world, would you tell me that that's much different than what we see in Noah's time? Do you think you could make an argument and go, oh, that's way different? We're awful quiet, so the answer is probably no, right? So when he says, when it's like that, get in your waiting position. What's a waiting position for a disciple? Go give the gift away. Can you see the signs of time? I'm coming back. Times of Noah are close. Yeah. Could be 500 years. What are you going to do? I'm going to go give you away. I better give you as much of you away as I possibly can. As much Jesus as I got, I better start giving as much as I can away. Why? Because I feel like the days of Noah are around me. What I'd like to do is build a really cool boat and hunker down for a while. I'm that kind of guy. Like, baby, let's go buy property in the Rocky Mountains and start building. Sayonara, everyone. That's who I am in my natural man. Yeah, I'm deuces out. But that's not who he asked me to be. He said, now, if that's truth, go give life preservers away. His name is Jesus. I came the first time as the gift. I'm still giving. But I'm asking my church today, what are we doing with this gift that we have during the times that we're getting given? We got a lot of work to do. We got a lot of work to do, right? Promises that God gave an opportunity for the Jesus relationship. That's the gift. That was the promise. He preparing us for all that. Let's go to Genesis, sweetheart. The gift was delayed en route, you know. There's a couple packages. Pastor Heidi said to me this week, she goes, I'm really sad. One of your gifts is going to come after Christmas. And she was crushed by that. I felt really bad for her. It doesn't matter to me if I ever get a gift. But I was really sad because she was sad. Because it was delayed. And it had taken a long time. And sometimes, anybody ever really, you didn't say what you wanted for Christmas, but you laid enough hints. And you're hoping, but you weren't sure it was going to be there. And like you're just kind of, you're a little kid, and you're kind of dancing around the box like you got to pee. Oh, it's in there. Right? Is that the thing? Right? You're just wait. That's your waiting position. When's he coming back? Right? Is that our waiting position? I mean, what if we, oh, he's coming back. Praise the Lord. Get saved. He's coming back. That ain't going to work. Everyone's going to hell. That ain't going to work. Let me show you what love looks like. It looks just like Jesus, and there's boundaries with that. But I'm going to show you the Jesus that's changing my life, and I'm going to give him away this year. And when he comes back, it will be a party, not like, oh, no. I'm walking in the gate with a bunch of my friends. That's what I'm hoping for. What's my waiting position? Genesis 22:18 says, through your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have heard and obeyed my voice. God makes good on his promises when he made these promises, right? Isaiah, well, I'll probably, Isaiah 9:2-7. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in the dark land, the light will shine on them. You, O God, will increase the nation. You will multiply their joy. They will rejoice before you like the joy of jubilation of harvest. As men rejoice when they divide spoils of victory. For you, listen, this is how the gift can work for you. This is talking about Jesus. Like all this, right, so far, this is talking about Jesus. All that can work for you. He keeps his promises. For you will break the yoke of Israel's burden and the staff off their shoulders, the rod of their oppressors at the battle of Midian, every boot of the marching warrior, the battle of tumult, be rolled in blood. What? It will be used for burning fuel for the fire. Let me paraphrase that for you. I'm going to punk them all. What? He said, every battle that you've had to fight, all those warriors your whole life, I'm going to soak that situation, blood of those battles, and I'm going to set that on fire, and I'm going to bless you. He said, I'm going to punk your people that were after you. The enemy, I got a place for him. He knows where he's going. I've had Lucifer's number a long time. I can't wait to deal that out myself. For to us, he said, a child shall be born to us, and a son shall be given, say Jesus. And the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. Say, that's a gift. Who needs counsel? I do, like on a regular. Yeah. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. See, that's a gift, right? What does God not have that you could possibly need? The creator of all things has everything. He He is the box and the everything. Everlasting Father. It had to be amazing for Jesus in that moment. I got a lot of questions for him when I get up there, and it's probably not anybody else's question. Like, you know that moment where the Father just came upon you and you were just one, and what was that like? Go. You know, and I was sitting there like eating all sorts of yummy stuff that doesn't give me any calories. Great. Prince of Peace. That's a gift, right? Who needs peace during the season? There shall be no end to the increase of his government and of his peace. Say, I'm the church. Thank you for that gift. He shall rule on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it, to uphold it with justice and righteousness from that time forward and forevermore. How long? Forevermore. Say, it's a promise. Now, this is typically how we see Christmas. Remember, it's Christmas. Say Christmas, Pastor. All right, I got some Christmas for you. Want to see some? See this picture? There's Christmas. See that? There's some Christmas right there. We got another one? Oh, Christmas. The cute little Christmas. Oh, there we go. Abstract Christmas. That's about my style. You know? There we go. That's a little scary to me, honestly. I don't know. It's old school, but a lot going on there for me. Is that my last one? Yeah, I looked at these manger scenes, and sometimes I just looked at them, I go, they just don't quite capture the impact of what was going on. It seems too cute and packaged and picturesque, right? Matthew 1:21. She shall give birth to a son, and you shall name him Jesus. The Lord is salvation, for he will save his people from their sins. You know why sin sucks? You know why sin sucks? Because it's real. If it wasn't real, it was made up, it wouldn't suck so much because it wouldn't be a thing. But God says it is. But the cool part is, he will save his people from his sins. Say, Jesus is the gift, right? Jesus is the gift. For he will, that's a promise. For he will save his people from their sins. Jesus is the greatest gift ever. Right? The greatest gift ever. Matthew 1:22-25. All this happened in order to fulfill what God says he will do. To fulfill what the Lord has spoken through the prophet Isaiah. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and give birth to a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means translated, God with us. Salvation is God with us. It says, Joseph awoke from his sleep and did, Pastor Justin, I'm never going to see this the same. I don't know if you didn't hear his message, I'm never going to see this the same. Joseph awoke from his dream and did. Look at somebody. I'm looking at Brownie. Be that guy. Be that guy. When God tells you something, do it as quick as you possibly can. It could change the world. And he did as the angel communicated to him. And he took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she had given birth to a son, her firstborn child, and named him Jesus. The Lord is my salvation. I want to give us a chance to respond to the gift. We talk about Jesus every Sunday here, some shape or form, even the Old Testament. Yeah, thank you. And I know a bunch of you real personally, and I've seen Jesus in your life, and I know that you know him, and I know that you love him, and I know you're trying hard, and I also know that you're not perfect. I'm not either. I've never claimed it once. Occasionally I'm wise. It's 50-50. But I really want those of us that have accepted him as Lord and Savior and received the gift. And we celebrate Christmas because we know the Christ in Christmas. I'm going to ask us this year to start giving that away like we never have before. This is the year we give Jesus away, personally. Target somebody. Ask the Lord to show you who you give him away to. You have the gift. You have the gift. And you have gifts and talents and ways to share them that no one else has. If I had the gifts of half of you guys, I'd be really wealthy and there'd be a lot more people saved because, man, I'd draw that and I'd do this and I'd make those and I'd sing real pretty and I look out and see all these gifts. And I want to prod you to good works with them this year. But I don't know, I'm not trying to stare anybody down either. There's folks, like you, but I know this too. If you have never accepted Jesus, that's the best thing you'll ever do in your life. Amen. He forgave me from my nonsense. And I had a pile of nonsense. And no hope. And looking at eternal problems. And I realize if he can forgive someone like me, he can forgive anybody. So if you've never accepted him and said, how can he forgive me? And I want him to forgive me and I want that gift. I'm going to go over to the prayer wall and break every rule we made. And I'm going to be over there and I will pray for you until you know Jesus. And I'll sprint right over there right after service. Because that to me is the most important thing I'll ever do. Nothing more important than that. I try to make things more important than that. But there ain't nothing more important than that. And for those of us that are his kids at Christmas time, and your daddy gave you a gift that he did personal for you, isn't it time we put it on and we use it again? Some of us put our Jesus backpack and hung it up a little bit. Or maybe our Jesus shoes are a little worn down. And if you feel like you need your present refreshed so you can change the future, I want to pray that refreshing in your gift relationship with God this year. So if you'd like prayer, stand, and I'll just ask you to do that. And I'll pray for you. If you want to receive Jesus, I'll be at the prayer wall. Anything that happens after this moment will be up to Pastor Judy. Well, Father, here we are, your people, celebrating Christmas morning tomorrow. The greatest gift arrived right on time. Right on time in my life and right on time in Mafi's lives. They're standing here today. Wouldn't be standing here without receiving that gift. Oh, Lord, we love you beyond manger scenes. We love you beyond Christmas lights. We love you beyond perfect presents. Lord, I even love you better than my wife's scalloped potatoes in hand. I love you. But I'm asking that your church this year would put our gift on again. Lord, we would embody the gift that you gave us. You'd find a good return on us. We'd come back, Father. We would be singing, hi ho, off the work we go, Father. We are doing things for you, and we're not doing it in fear because there is a return for us. There is something for us ahead, Lord God. But without taking those we love with us, it's pointless. So, Father, cause us to give the greatest gift ever away this year. Anoint us to be the boxes that carry everything. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you. Merry Christmas.